today's topic, Power for Living the Victorious Life, with host Pastor Bill Tucker.
Friend, do you ever feel like your life is an up-and-down experience? Today I'd like for you to consider the need for power for victorious living. I believe that the great cry and deep longing of the heart of the Apostle Paul is the desperate need of your life and mine. I want you to underline in your Bible a very wonderful text found here in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. The great cry of His heart was to have the experience of knowing Him, Jesus, the power of His resurrection. And oh, that I might know Jesus, to be really like Him, to experience His mighty power in my life. This is my need. This is your need. This is the longing of our hearts, isn't it, friend? For those of you who've not tuned in to our previous video studies, I'm Pastor Bill Tucker. We've been studying from this book, The Search for True Seminar Study Guides. This covers several different topics, and it's all linked together like a chain, each passage building upon the other, all for the purpose to come to know Jesus better, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, so often many of us think that we have to get all dressed up in order to come to the Lord. But God wants us just the way we are. It is He who's going to fix us up. Never forget that. We have to come to Him with all of our sins, with all of what we are. The Bible says it's like filthy rags, but we give it all to Him. You know, Jesus said so beautifully here in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, come. Come with your load of guilt. Come with your bent to sinning. Come with your inherited tendencies to do evil. Come with your life of trying and failing. Yes, come with all your discouragements, your disappointments. Come with all of your depression, whatever it might be. Come. Come right now as you are, Jesus is saying. He says, I'll give you rest. So our focus is to come and then surrender our lives to Him, and He will do it. He will accomplish it. He will give us what we need most. There's another precious promise that we find over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, friend, there it is. It's God who gives us the victory. It's God that gives the victory over temptation. It's God that gives us the victory over the down drag of sin. It is God that gives us the power to live the victorious life. It's a gift. It's a God-given gift. Now, someone might be thinking or saying to himself, why, it's absolutely impossible to live without sinning. It just can't be done. Why, God doesn't even expect us in this lifetime to ever live that way. You said it many times, perhaps. Perhaps you believe it even now. But consider the following story. Jesus was sitting near the temple. He was talking to a group of people one day, and suddenly he glances, there's a woman. She's being dragged in. She's half clothed, half naked. And these men who are pulling her right over to where Jesus was begins to say, we caught her right in the very act of adultery. Now this woman that we caught should be stoned according to what Moses says. What do you say, Jesus? Well, Jesus doesn't say a word. He continues right on as you read the story in John chapter 8. And then it is that he begins to draw something in the sand. Finally, Jesus says, as he looks up, "Which one of you who are the accusers, which one of you are without fault? You cast the first stone." The woman cowers down, expecting those hypocrites to pick up stones and start throwing them. But no stone is thrown. Instead, these men, they quickly decide that they have other appointments. They begin running away, backing out of where they've come from. And then it is, Jesus again is alone with the woman. And we read these words in John chapter 8, verse 10 and 11. He first says, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee." And then he says, "Go and sin no more." Oh, friend, the woman's heart was melted. She fell prostrate at Jesus' feet in complete repentance and full surrender. A soul was born into the kingdom of God that moment. Did you notice what Jesus said? He said, "I don't condemn you." But then he says, "But go and sin no more." Now, did Jesus give a command knowing that it was impossible to be followed? Oh, no, my friend. Here, I believe, is the purpose of the gospel. Jesus came to save us from sin, not merely just to forgive sin. There's a vast difference between the forgiveness of sin and the salvation from sin. And oh, to have our sins forgiven. That's wonderful. But to be kept from sinning is even more wonderful. To be dragged out of the pit of sin, to be kept from falling into the pit of sin, is an experience for which we will ever be thankful. Friends, the keeping power of God is the climax of the Christian's experience. I'm not going to be satisfied, and I don't believe you're going to be satisfied until this is the experience. Our trouble is that we're trying to live too close to sin. You remember the prayer of Jesus, John 17, verse 15? Jesus is praying that great intercessory prayer. He says, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil." That's the great need. You see, our trouble is that we're trying to live too close to sin. It's like the little boy who came inside the house. His mother noticed he was all muddy. "Son, why'd you get so muddy?" The son said, "I guess I was staying too close to the mud puddle." I think sometimes victory eludes us because we play with sin. We get too close to it. We gaze upon it. Sin entices us. We become exhilarated by it. The heart beats faster. We begin to fondle it and caress it, and finally we embrace it. The Apostle Paul explained it this way in Romans chapter 7, verse 19, which too often becomes our experience. Romans 7, verse 19. "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Isn't this the picture of your life, my friend? It sure is of mine sometimes. We don't want to sin, and yet we do. Why? Because we have not learned three important basic factors to victorious living. If we're ever going to know the joy of a victorious life, we must learn to hate sin. The Bible says that Jesus hated sin. You see, you're actually two people. Did you know that? No, I'm not saying you're two-faced. No, but you're two people. Besides learning to hate sin, we must realize that there are two natures struggling for supremacy within the Christian. This is why the Apostle Paul said, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not do, that I do." Galatians 5, verse 17, Paul puts it another way. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Does that sound familiar? This is why the Christian is faced with a conflict within, while the non-Christian seems to be drifting along with no evidence of struggle. The Christian life is not a modification or an improvement of the old carnal nature, but it is a transformation of nature. There is a death to self, to sin. It is to be a new life altogether. But my friends, this old carnal nature does not die very easily. He has to be starved to death. And that has to be done daily. You see, every day the Apostle Paul faced the claims of Christ as they conflicted in some point with natural inclination. Every day he found it necessary to crucify the old nature. And this is the way he puts it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Friends, this is not a fictitious conflict. It's very real. You only know it too well, don't you? Today you're riding high, everything's going right. And then tomorrow you're down and out in the dumps and you cry out, "Why was I ever born?" But friend, this is not God's plan for your life. He wants you to have victory. He wants you to go from victory on to victory, day by day. But you're saying right now, how can this ever be my experience? Well, let's make it very practical. Tomorrow morning, as you awaken to meet a new day, ask yourself the question, which of these two natures that I have within are going to control my life during the waking hours of this day? Ask that question. You see, whichever nature is the stronger will rule your life. If your spiritual nature is the stronger, then it will rule your life that day. But if the old nature, that carnal nature, that natural nature is stronger, then it will rule you that day. And whichever nature rules you from day to day will determine how your eternal destiny takes place and ends up. Here's the secret. Whichever nature you feed, that's the one that's going to be the stronger. By a divine act, God has implanted new life and power into your soul as you've accepted Him as Savior and Lord through the Holy Spirit. You've been born again. God has done something in you by His grace that no person can do. But now comes your part. You can either feed or starve that new nature. That's your choice. The outcome of the conflict, in a very real sense, depends upon you. One still has that power of choice. It's a gift that God does not take away from you. The vital thing now then is to utterly neglect and separate yourself from anything of the flesh. That only feeds the carnal nature. In contrast, turn your complete attention to feeding the spiritual nature. It's going to take daily, constant prayer. Yes, there's effort in doing that because that's part of the choice. Choosing to take time, quality time daily for the study of God's Word. To claim victory in the promises and then daily sharing of your faith with others. This will strengthen your commitment to Christ. Friend, this kind of positive activity makes it possible for the strength of the living Christ to flow unchecked into your life. Now you can see why there's been this up and down experience. Victory today, defeat tomorrow. You see, the nature you feed will be the stronger. And when you get hold of this simple practical truth, you'll be surprised at the problems it will solve. Every day that we live, we face a series of decisions, don't we? The clothes that we're going to wear, the food that we're going to eat, the books that we're going to read, yes, the TV programs that we're going to watch, the company that we're going to keep, even the thoughts that we're going to think, the care that we give to our bodies, the food that we give our minds, how we spend our recreational time, all these enter into Christian living. All of these affect the health of the soul. And so we need to be consecrated, consecrating our minds, hands, feet. All of these things we need to do, don't we? Yes, we even need consecrated fingers to know when to turn the dials on the TV. Which nature does it feed? That's the question. Friend, this question will settle many, many things that deal with right and wrong. It'll be amazing how this simple formula will clear up even minor questions that seem inconsequential in themselves by simply asking, which nature is it going to feed? I say this will settle it. Now the big question. There's victory for you, friend. How big is the God that you serve? You see, there's a danger in focusing the attention upon oneself. As we think about these decisions that we need to make each day, I must choose this, I must choose that. What am I going to read? What am I going to eat? What am I going to do? And what happens? We start focusing upon ourselves. I say there's a big danger in focusing attention upon self too long as we seek to do our part, forgetting that victory is indeed a gift from God. Over in the book of Jude, and this is what it says in verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What a verse, what a promise. What a God we serve, a mighty God. He's able to keep you, friend, from falling, it says. He's able to do it today. He's able to do it tomorrow and the next day. He's able even to present you faultless today before the presence of his Father. Think about that. So I ask you, how big is the God that you serve? Is he big enough to do it? What's your answer? Friend, he says that he is. He says, I can present you today faultless. That's the real story. As my Father in heaven looks down at my life and looks down at your life, he can say faultless. Why? Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ is with him. That's what the Apostle Paul said right over here in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice Galatians 2 and verse 20. Another precious promise. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a statement. What a testimony. Paul's saying, I am crucified with Christ. Now, how do you do that? I like the way Morris Vanden illustrates it. He says, have you ever tried to crucify yourself? Have you ever tried it? You can hammer a nail into one hand, but how do you get your other arm? How do you get it crucified? Friend, here's the secret. You cannot of yourself even crucify self. It takes another person to do it. The Holy Spirit. Self must die, and only through the Holy Spirit's aid can this be possible. Can it be done? Yet you're going to live. Christ now lives within you. Christ now controls your will. I have something here. It's been a silent witness during this program. It's an old glove. I like this glove. I wear it, especially when it's cold. But notice, as I have this glove on, it's very easy for me to pick up this Bible. Yes, I can pick it up very easily. You know, it's interesting. Of itself, it's not worth very much. If I asked this glove to pick up this Bible, could it do it? No. Foolish, isn't it, to think of it? And yet, all it takes is for my hand to be in this glove. As it resigns itself to my fingers, and the power that is within that hand easily picks up the Bible. Friend, I ask you, are you willing? Are you willing to be just simply a glove on God's hand? Remember, it was Jesus who said, "Of my own self, I can do nothing." When it's left up to ourselves, it's just like a lifeless glove. Without Him, we can do nothing, it says. And when Jesus said it, while here on this earth, how much more true is it of us? Let's take Him at His word. What do you say? And recognize that just as a little boy's lunch one day, given to Jesus, was blessed and then multiplied to feed a multitude of people. Remember Jesus who said to the winds and the waves, "Peace, be still." The waves died, they stopped rolling. How was it that Jesus got His power? Was it from Himself? No. It was from His Father. And just like He was totally dependent upon His Father for the power that He had, for every word that He spoke, for every deed that He performed, yes, indeed, you and I, it is only as we're willing to be like a glove on God's hand, that we become something worthwhile. Because then it is God who fills us and fills our life with His power. Yes, how much truer it is for you and for me. Oh, Father, we want Your will to be done in our lives constantly. We've tried, we've failed. Sometimes we've lived sort of hypocritical lives. Yes, there's been a lot of pretense, a lot of sham. We're sick of this kind of living. We want to live that victorious life that You promised. We want to be more like You, Jesus. Lord, have Your way in our lives right now. May each one, in the hearing of my voice, begin today to live that victorious life because of You, Jesus.